I can feel you light me up in the darkness. I can hear you breathing silently next to me. It's like you take away my past, all my problems. You're a god, cause I got you. Like the ocean got the moon, yeah, I got you. They say nothing lasts forever, but it's cool. Yeah, as long as I got it to breathe, I swear I don't need anything, cause
Thank you for tuning in or streaming or downloading Blooming Out on WFHB 91.3 FM in Bloomington, Indiana. I'm Melanie Davis.
I'm Justin Robertson.
And I'm Cal Demery.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, how are we all doing?
It's been a long week, and spring break for IU students is next week, and I'm so excited.
So are we. You're having a staycation?
Yes. And probably just going to my parents because, like, you know, I don't have to pay for food if I go to my parents.
You're such a grifter.
Wow. College student? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I know.
Graduate student on top of that, so I'm even more poor. See, but.
I was in college. My parents wouldn't let me come home.
Wow. Wow. I'm sorry.
It was okay. I wouldn't have let me come home either, I don't think.
No, see, my parents don't want me to come home. It's that they want to see my cats.
Because
they love my kitten.
I get that.
So
I don't even have anything to say about that. That's
well, they always call in about their grandchildren.
Yes.
A.K.A. Oh, yeah. My cats.
Yeah.
So.
I get that 100%.
We have the cats at the house, and I think they're just going to stay there, so I don't have to worry about, like, grandbabies or anything. But there's something we said. I miss Cat being a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
There's that phase of life when you're just like, they're so easy to, and I know I just said that about toddlers, but they were. I mean, they're there and they're everything's new and they're excited about stuff.
I think it's fun. Everybody has their own preference for an age group, I think. Yeah.
What's yours?
Teenagers. Isn't that weird? But I do best with teenagers.
Yeah.
I don't
know
why.
They can walk and talk and,
me too.
You know, go to the bathroom by themselves. And
I'm terrified of little tiny.
Yeah.
I never know
what they're going to say.
Well, I'm just also afraid that, I don't know. They're small.
So I was washing dishes one day and Kat was pulling herself up onto things.
Right, exactly.
And
that's what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. She would go into the fridge and we'd already done elimination communication, which is where you make a sound and a hand signal and they go to the bathroom, whichever one you make. It was pretty cool. It teaches them potty training. She was already potty trained by the time she was like able to walk. But not like going onto the toilet, but you know, whatever. A fascinating conversation, right? So anyway, I would go beep, beep, beep and pull her back out of the fridge. And eventually after like a week of doing that, she would do it. One time I'm washing dishes and putting stuff away in the dishwasher and to get it really clean because you got to wash it twice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't trust the dishwasher to clean it. And I look over and she's crawled up onto the door and she grabbed the back of a butcher knife because the silverware thing was on the bottom and she grabbed the back of it and she like picked it up and I was like, oh my god, and I freaked out.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
So we learned how to use a butcher knife that she was interested. So might as well take advantage of the time. And maybe that's why like she has so many machetes now.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Toddlers are awesome.
Yeah, I'll bet you're really good with toddlers. I can tell.
Can you Nobody say hand can. Grenade? Yes, you can.
See, I'm an only child. I was also the youngest in all my cousins. So, like, I was the baby.
Oh.
So I don't have a ton of experience with, like, little kids. But I like teaching, like, fifth grade up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anything younger than that, I'm like, I don't really know what to do with y'all. Like, I don't know. Like, y'all not going to listen and do what I tell you to do. So, like, how do I teach you? But fifth grade up. We're good. I like them.
There's enough ability to, you know, be paying attention all the time and,
mm-hmm.
you know, able to direct their energy in a specific direct way. Yeah. No, I get it. I thought teenagerdom would be fantastic for Kat and, you know, independence. And I could teach her all about, like, the world as a more adult person and how to get around and have fun and not get caught. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Wow. And I just remembered that this isn't just local anymore. We're on Apple Podcasts now.
Ooh,
so all
yes,
this parenting advice I'm giving is going out into the ether and will be there forever.
So for those who don't know, WFHB Blooming Out is now on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
Or it will be.
It will be.
Well, this is the first time hearing of it. So fabulous.
We talked about it before the show.
Not when I've been here.
You were sitting right there.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yes.
You were just talking about andropause. Is it manopause? What is
it? Oh, we were talking about andropause. Yeah. Manopause.
Yeah. And how memory is.
Why is menopause called menopause and andropause is called andropause?
Misogyny.
It just doesn't make any
Menses.
Sense. Menses.
It's menses stops. Bleeding.
Well,
monthly.
Okay, the flow. Word menopause comes from the Greek words mens for month and pausus meaning cessation. So month stops.
We don't have months anymore.
Yeah, but you're right. So it's about menses.
Yeah.
Mm, what's andro?
Let's Google it.
Man.
But men is...
Androgyny. Androgyne?
Yeah. Now I...
Yeah, gynecological. You're right. It's manpause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Manpause.
Whoa.
Whoa. So I guess now I've just revealed that I never listened to you two.
This is great.
We were really talking about that?
Yes.
We were, yeah. Totally.
Because we were talking about what we're doing with the show recording afterward.
Yeah.
Oh, but I don't know when you guys are talking about those technical things. I mean, I'm just here practicing my calligraphy.
He zoned out. remembering all the cotillions and balls and things that he's been to.
Yeah.
So I don't like this week to get into the show. This week we actually had several good news articles,
mm-hmm.
like, or better news articles.
Yeah, good job.
I'll try.
Who are you?
Well, I mean, it wasn't me. It was the world.
Oh.
I just trawl the world for
and good news and kept. So this is the thing is, you do have, you know, when you look at things, they're going to show you more of what you're looking for, and you're always looking for bad things, so you just get the bad things and bad things and bad things.
I'm not
so you
looking must have, for bad things. I just...
Algorithm, that's what I'm trying to think of.
See, I'm not specifically fishing in one region. I'm just casting the wide net, and whatever gets caught, you know, gets hauled in. That's really not a great analogy, but it's true.
Is that a new...
No.
Way of doing things for you?
No.
Oh, because you always get the bad news.
Because it's often very important to our lives. So
I agree.
I think that we have to focus on eliminating the bad in order to have more good.
Yes. Well, thank you for bringing us some good news. What do you got?
I don't know.
Well, in a fun turn of events, Republicans helped defeat anti-LGBTQ plus bills in Utah and Arizona.
Utah and Arizona.
Right. Well, because these bills are so extreme. I mean, yeah.
It's ridiculous. So in Arizona, it was one legislator, mm-hmm. one Republican legislator who hopped on. And in the Utah, it was like it was a group effort. It was very nice to see that come through. So the Utah bill was sponsored by Republican legislators in both chambers. It would have banned the display of pride flags along with discussion of sexual orientation or gender identity. And you know,
in schools. Or in schools. Anywhere.
Not well.
In a coffee shop.
Just wait. It's coming to everyone. Oh, that's my negative side. Sorry.
No, I think you're right.
So the governor, Spencer Cox, took the step of condemning that and ensuring and censoring a state school board member via a resolution passed by the Republican dominated legislature. So, like in this case, it's a governor also doing the right thing, which is.
So they called out a state school board member who was promoting this banning of LGBTQ plus type
and
speech.
And we'd reported on her before, right?
I think so.
It was about a month ago. Sorry, go ahead.
I just was clarifying what had happened. So basically, the state school board member was saying, we need to ban all these things. And it went to the legislature. And despite the House being full of Republicans in the state, the bill went down in flames in a 39-32 vote with four legislators abstaining.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually was defeated by Republicans.
Yeah.
And then what you were saying is the governor, Spencer Cox, took the unusual step of condemning and censoring the said state school board member via a resolution passed by the Republican-dominated legislature. And then the Board of Education in the state also voted to strip that board member of her official powers and ask for her resignation.
Awesome.
I mean, that's rare. And kind of wonderful. And she'd been making a lot of waves and causing a lot of turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
And people had been calling for her resignation for a while, ever since she was put onto the board. But, you know, maybe things will get better.
It's so great to see that there are consequences mm-hmm. to bad behavior, or karma finally gets you.
It's nice to see allies, for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. see some allyship from these folks that you know, praise and preach self-determination and libertarianism and, you know, the government shouldn't be in our business.
Right. And freedom and all of that.
But yeah, I like to see the fact that they're actually standing up for their beliefs and as a consequence, protecting trans people and LGBTQ plus people, you know, even if that's not their incentive.
Right. But they still are, decent enough to believe in believe freedom in for preaching. Everybody and believe in what they're preaching. I agree with that. Well, Unlike Moms for Liberty, where it's like liberty for us, but not for you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the big thing is for me that not for thee.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be the big disconnect for mm-hmm. a lot. Because, hey, why wouldn't it sound great to get the government out of our bedrooms, right? Get the government out of our health decisions. Get the government out of our, personal lives and, you know, run society better as far as public life. But, you know, you don't get to dictate who we are and how we do things.
I never understood this lack of translation with conservatives of saying, keep big government out. Let's have a free market, but let's control the social market.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that never made sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense.
Like, you want a free capitalism market, but that needs to be reflected in your societal culture.
Right.
Like, you can't have heavy regulations in your social culture and not have them in your economic culture. Like that doesn't work.
Control is a big part of things. Mm-hmm. And you can't not control people who are going to possibly run afoul of your personal beliefs or your personal understanding of the world. So you have to shut that down because that threatens you. So obviously you have to like destroy that. And then once everybody's on the same page, then it's freedom. It's only freedom if you're with us. And yeah.
I still think a lot of the motivation is just malarkey. You know, it's just to create a demon that they can, the perception can be that they can destroy or they can control.
Right.
Yeah.
That, absolutely. And it, we see it rotate. We mm-hmm. see it. Mm-hmm. Now they seem to kind of be heaping the demons up.
Mm-hmm.
The demons become legion, so to speak. And yeah, now it's not just queer people. Uh-huh. It's not just those raging feminists. It's not it's not just the people who are crossing the border by the billions
uh-huh.
and diluting or poisoning our national blood. I mean, like, come on. I speaking of, he's the presumptive now Republican candidate. So
I know, which is both a good and a bad thing.
I love your optimism. It's very refreshing.
Well, I just think I don't know. I mean, it's just I never thought he would ever be president. Like, I didn't even think he had a chance. I didn't even think that he would be nominated and he was president. So I don't really know. But I don't see people voting for him. I hope.
I'm a firm believer that most people only voted for Joe Biden because they didn't want Trump to continue being president.
Uh-huh.
But he hasn't been president now for 3 years, and people have forgotten what that felt like.
See,
no, their lives were better. That's what they're saying now.
It's, yeah, I'm afraid that you could be right. But, you know, Trump is going up there and saying that he defeated Obama and stuff. He's just like, he lives in his own
exactly.
world.
Oh my goodness.
It's frightening.
Like, I have criticisms of Joe Biden, okay? Personal politics. I don't like Joe Biden, but, you know, I'm going to vote blue no matter who.
That's okay. You
like
live
Trump.
In a free country. But, you can say what you want.
But
I do like
and
Joe
I do
Biden.
Have concerns over his health and his age mm-hmm. after having been a caretaker for people with dementia. Like, I see the signs. I'm seeing it. Like, I get it. And I understand those criticisms. But let's not ignore that Trump has the exact same symptoms. They're just funny. Because he has more charisma. He pulls it off. But
get his charisma. I just don't.
He's not funny. A he's entertaining.
Or a George Bush.
But he makes these Trumpisms, if you will, that are He manages to pull them off and just keep talking to a point that we see it as humorous.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, he does not know who people are. He says the wrong thing. The same thing, and Joe Biden does it a lot less than Donald Trump has. Like, I'm still like, don't like that we're in a. I don't like how old the people who are running are, just because it's not their future. But health-wise, like, I would trust Joe Biden more than I would trust Trump based on their behavior.
When
in terms of mental well-being,
right?
Emotional well-being.
Emotional, but also, like, you know, again, a criticism is we have somebody who will say or do whatever it takes to get into power.
Yeah.
And that's not healthy at all.
That's all he wants.
Well, it's also he's surrounded by yes men.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
women.
Right.
And other people. But like, at least I trust that if Joe Biden does something that's questionable, his staff will step in, or Kamala will step in,
mm-hmm.
or Dr. Biden will step in and be like, we got to fix this. I don't see any of Trump's people doing that. They just listen to him and do what he says.
Yeah.
And that's what's a little bit scary. I mean, it's all scary, but like, that's what scares me is like, I know at some point it's probably just, I'm just voting for Kamala than I am Joe Biden, but like.
And that's okay. Because that's who you might end up with.
I know she can probably do the job. I might not like what she does, but I know she can do the job.
Well, I mean, you know, we've seen who's been able to like at least survive 4 years. So several times over in our lifetime, they made it and the country didn't fall apart. So I guess it really doesn't take much. But the country is having this new existential crisis where who are we? What are our values? What are we trying to, who are we trying to be? And honestly, we've kind of had that in different ways since at least I've been around. Reevaluating.
I think everything's cyclical. Like lots of times I'm like, this is unprecedented. And I think maybe it is in our lifetime, but.
I mean, studying history, have we had somebody in the White House who's threatening to actually suspend the Constitution because that's,
right.
you know, what they need to do? Or that they can, making the argument they can do whatever they want as president.
Right.
For the good of the country.
No, you're correct. I do not believe that we have, but we have had this sort of population in our country that rises and falls. You know what I mean? In terms of how loud their voices are, how strong their voices are, how they affect politics.
You're talking about the get her done people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not so much the president, but just
the people supporting.
Right. And I feel, I mean, I do know a fair amount of history. I could be wrong, but I feel like the last time this really happened was probably the early 60s with the race riots and the civil rights movement, as well as the 1920s. Both eras of great progressive movements, too. And I think it's a backlash against it.
And that's kind of where I go with the negative stories, is because I want to spur people into action. I want to make sure people understand that there are consequences to sitting back.
Oh, absolutely.
And thank
you for reminding us of that.
Well, you don't have to. I mean, I do it anyway, but now more people get to listen to it than three cats, my mom and my daughter.
Right. So, No, and that's a great thing. You're in this studio. You are doing things.
Well, and we are.
And I mean, you do more than even just this.
And we'll get into that later too, because there are some things that are happening here in Indiana with the ban on healthcare for trans youth. The group that we put together last year that is now 501c3. That is getting information and resources to people.
And what is that group called?
Protect Our People Connect.
Okay.
And we're trying to get, back then before the injunction on this law that was passed last year, along with, you know, the 550 some laws across the United States that were, or 550 some bills across the United States that were restricting LGBTQ lives, particularly youth. We saw that here in Indiana. We had 23 or 25 bills specifically targeting LGBTQ people and the restriction of rights in public, just public life. And not all of them went through, thankfully, but we had another raft of those, and we have some that are still in, you know, dangerous waters here because we're not at the end of the process yet. But so last year we were concerned about, and then it passed this ban on, and like it has in many states, this ban on LGBTQ, well, this ban on particularly trans youth accessing affirming healthcare. And now they did leave out, they did take the step of the, you can still get mental health care in the state of Indiana that is affirming for trans youth, but you can't have any physical intervention, any physical. But not only that, doctors and therapists are not allowed to share information about where the youth can go in other states. They're also not allowed to support in like other ways too. Like they can't send the, if you get a doctor and say Carbondale, right? You can't send the records if you're a doctor's office. The patient has to come in and request all of their medical records in order to take
them
to...
Why are they treated different than any other patient? How is that legal?
We're protecting them. We're protecting from indoctrination and making medical decisions that they can't possibly know until they're 18.
While indoctrinating them.
Indoctrinating. Like that. That's cute.
Well, I think something, if you guys... I know Protect Our People has already been doing this, mm-hmm. but just having a plan, a guide, educating your friends on what to do. Obviously, this has already happened, but like,
well,
disaster plans are good to have.
But a lot of people, you know, their days are full mm-hmm. and their hands are full, and they don't have the resources to
yeah.
go out and hunt this information down.
No. Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we came together and we decided, okay, we're going to get the information from various sources, and then we're going to vet it, and we're going to fundraise for money to help parents get their kids to affirming healthcare, whether it be in Illinois, which is a protected state
mm-hmm.
for healthcare, or Michigan, which is still, they're on the edge. They don't have protections, but right now it's not illegal. But in Ohio, it's illegal. In Kentucky, it's illegal. We've seen this, and I've talked about it here too. In the surrounding states around Illinois and Michigan and pretty much just the Midwest, Minnesota is the other state where you can get healthcare. That's a little too far for us to mm-hmm. help people get to. But you know, the rest of those states and the American South is healthcare is unavailable for kids. And you know, we're not talking about what the right is trying to say. Oh, they're having sex changes and they're having mutilations and things like that. And we talked last week about how they could still do that to intersex kids.
Yeah. So for context, when children are born intersex, usually there is some surgery done.
No, not usually.
Not usually.
One in 2,000
yeah.
Are born, one in 2,000 kids are born with ambiguous genitalia.
Mm-hmm.
And in those cases, surgery is usually performed.
Mm-hmm.
But one in 50 people is intersex.
Yes. That's what I was trying to say.
That surgery is allowed to continue under these laws, mm-hmm. But not for people who are trans because they see that as something different. They see that as a choice. They see that as, and it's no more a choice than your eye color.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. You can wear contacts for a while, but you're not fooling anybody. And, that is, there's a lack of understanding in the people who are creating these laws.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're having this huge social disconnect of, you know, people who don't have very good knowledge of what they're legislating and they're frankly not interested.
No.
When you try to speak to them, they, you know, the eyes glaze over and you know, blast doors close in their ears and they don't hear you most of the time. We're trying to change that too. We're trying to educate people around the state about how to speak to legislators, what works, mm-hmm. and we're working with legislators on that who are on the Dem side or at least on the side of, you know, this is your life. You know yourself better. You have professionals who are helping you. This isn't a rash decision. We understand that this is the proper care.
Mm-hmm.
The AMA, the APA, all of these groups agree this is necessary care. If you go through all these steps, it's not just you walk in, your five-year-old walks in and says, you know, I don't feel like this today, I want to be that. And that's not what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But again, because of messaging that goes out, because of media that goes out and is widely spread, that's what people are believing.
That's a lot of assumptions too. Because I keep seeing these comments on social media of like, now granted, it's also like somewhat, what I'm going to say, social, like, my For You page is made for me. So like, it's stuff, it's the algorithm. That's what I'm looking for. But just the Instagram algorithm is crazy and it gives you the weirdest stuff. And so it will show me like homophobic stuff sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like Instagram algorithm will show you like, show you deaths. Like it's wild. But like people in the comments just saying the wildest things. Like at least my kid doesn't identify as a cat. And I'm like,
I know. What? Yeah. So absurd.
I'm like, I know that is probably coming from assumptions and misunderstandings of the furry community and what all goes on there. Like, educate yourself.
Yeah. And that's just not queer people, you know? I mean, that's
Google is your friend. Yeah. Anthropologists exist to fix this problem. There's people like writing about these topics that will help you understand it better.
A little bit of self-promotion there?
No, I don't study any of that stuff, but...
But no, as an anthropologist.
Yeah. But like, what I'm saying is that there's people out there, there's resources out there to educate yourself on it. You don't have to just, you know, make assumptions or whatnot. Because I mean, I feel like every high school has the weird cat girl. Like, yeah, but like, you can always ask them, why do you wear cat ears?
And they're cat ears.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, half the school girls in the United States and Japan and Korea and,
and it's, there's
all
a whole,
over Australia.
There's a whole
context
to it and cultural movement behind wearing the cat ears. Like, I'm not super knowledgeable on all of it, but like, at least I know that.
They don't think they're cats.
No, they don't. No.
Well, my parents lived in Japan, so I went over there a lot, and a lot of the kids wear cat ears and things like that, or little mittens of tigers, or, you know, it's just this whole thing. And
it's a cute thing.
It's a cute thing, It's I don't know it so much here, actually. It's been a long time since I've been in a classroom, but it's not that big of a deal. It's not this perversion, you know what I mean? It's,
and they're not using litter boxes.
And they're not using
litter boxes. But we had a woman running for
the school board. The
school board last year. And she was absolutely convinced that there were litter boxes. She ran on it. We're getting the litter boxes out of.
Has she ever stepped in the classroom?
I don't.
Because I remember I talked with Michael Kreider like a while back about abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Had a whole conversation about it to him, and he was telling me how sex ed, LGBTQ stuff, and sex ed is being taught. And I was like, I know what sex ed was in my school. Whom he represents, who he claimed to have visited. And I can tell you, it is a running joke that the only thing you learn is that cancer will kill you in that class. Because the teacher would literally say, cancer will kill you. And that was all we learned. We did nothing in that class. Yeah. It was not hitting state standards, nothing. And so I was like, Mr. Kreider, have you even ever visited a classroom at that high school? Like, or are you just hearing this from parents? And, you know, who hear it from their kids.
Or just make it up.
Yes.
Because they heard it about these other ones. Well, it must be going on here.
And I caught him in a lie.
Mm.
So, you know, it's doing it. Maybe that's not the proper way to talk to legislators. You want to be nice to legislators, but for like strategic reasons. But like, you know, also call them out and ask them, have you actually ever visited a school, talk to students, like
invite
you know,
them
yeah
you know invite right. them to go and to check out the conditions themselves and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not a unreasonable request for people who are creating laws.
Mm-hmm.
Also listen to the people who you're going to be affecting, but that's not necessarily what happens. We have more news, folks, and we're going to dip into the dark now. So sorry. There's a bill that would imprison teachers who support trans students
in Missouri.
In Missouri,
absolutely ridiculous. I mean, is their job to support students?
Well,
you know, to...
It seems like that. Well, Representative Jamie Ray Gregg, last week introduced House Bill 2885, and it would charge teachers who provide support to transgender students' social transition with a Class E felony. If the bill becomes law, teachers or school counselors who support transgender students' transition could face a $10,000 fine, imprisonment, and may be forced to register as a sex offender.
This man has never talked to a student in his life.
I know that's...
And here's what I mean by that. One, there's always like the little LGBTQ plus click, you know, in the school. Like, I was part of it. Like, every school has it. They know that they're them or not.
Yeah. Alphabet Mafia or whatever it is.
Yeah. So there's that. Two, yes, teachers and counselors are very important. Yes, students can be very attached to those teachers and counselors. But there's also a subset of students that already do not trust those bodies because they run and report to parents for everything.
Yeah.
So, like, he just does not understand the nuance of the situation. And on top of that, this goes back to the note I made last week where they're sexualizing gender queerness because their only interaction with gender queerness has been in a sexual manner because they fetishize those people.
Absolutely.
So they are thinking with their body parts rather than their head.
Yeah. They're projecting their own. And Pornhub, I just saw this pop up. Pornhub just came out with another release of information. And the number one area that has searches for trans porn is the very states in the American South who are banning it.
No big surprise there.
Right.
Yeah, it's a fetish. I mean, just what you said. This is a fetish, and they sexualize everything.
So by using that logic, they're saying it's a sexual thing you're doing to children, okay? But they're the ones who are viewing it as a sexual thing being done to children
exactly.
When we just see it as healthcare.
Right.
Yeah.
So that says more about them than it says about us.
It has nothing to do with sex.
No. Sex the act, sex the biology, and gender.
Oh, you just said too many words.
All very, very different things.
Right. And then the representative, Gregg, said a bunch of... Just listen to this. So education begins at home, and it's time for the few liberal activists who've infiltrated the education system to stop interfering in the relationships between parents and their children. We need to make sure our teachers, those who spend their lives helping our children grow and prepare for the world, can focus on teaching. HB 2885 does just that.
It does just the opposite.
Just that. Yeah.
Just the opposite.
You know, if he really cared about education and teachers, he would pay them more.
Right.
Yeah. And you would let them help children grow and prepare for the world.
I think it's also, yeah.
The world's a diverse place.
Being a teacher is not just doing the lesson plans. It's being a mentor to your students.
Right.
And being, you know, the support aspect of it.
Yeah.
What they're talking about support is, you know, your kid comes to you in crisis, and this includes counselors. This isn't just teachers, but because this kid comes to you and you are like, okay, well, these are some counselors or therapists in your area. These are maybe a list of places where you could go for more information. Providing them with that, the thing a counselor is supposed to do, is illegal under this.
And that just makes me furious because not only is this just not fair to those students who are not getting the same treatment as other students, but it leads to horrible results.
Yeah.
Like we've seen with Next Benedict and other things, countless.
Yeah.
I mean, you are playing with somebody's mental health.
But these
and
counselors,
physical well-being.
These counselors are doing terrible things to the kids. They're giving them support.
They're giving them support.
Now, that's why in the state of Indiana, we're trying to get rid of counselors and put in chaplains.
Oh, no, 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 no. So they did this at my boarding school.
Yeah, no, this is statewide.
Yeah, this it was blocked, but yeah.
Yeah. But no. There's still the, it's still this push.
Separation,
you know?
Of church,
you
know, and straight. Not everybody.
Church and straight?
That is what we need to do. Not everybody is Christian either. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, that is just so ridiculous.
And not even all Christians believe that, you know, that queerness is evil.
No. Some Christians are queer.
What?
This logistically just doesn't make any sense.
No. Not at all.
He has never worked in a classroom.
Obviously.
He has never worked in a school.
Most of these people haven't.
No, they're creating victims, and I think that they know it full well.
Well,
they're trying to.
They're also just making a bad environment for students.
A horrible environment.
And when you have a bad environment for one group of students, it spreads to other groups of students.
Right.
And bad environments create bad outcomes.
Right.
That's not good for anybody. The teachers, the counselors, the admin, or the students.
It's not just like what happened with NEX. Mm-hmm. It's not, it's in every school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there have to be policies put into place so that children feel safe, mm-hmm, and secure and supported. And I mean, not necessarily like, you know, we're going to give you a new car or anything, but like you want to make sure the kids are prepared to learn. Your kids can't learn if they're being bullied, if they're being harassed, if they're even being harassed by the teachers or whatever. It's just let them be, right? But especially don't get in between them and their parents, like in Kentucky, where they've proposed a bill to take trans kids away from parents who allow them to use the appropriate bathroom.
Like, how much power do they want to have
all
on people's lives?
Every single little nick and cranny.
And that's really worrying. Because so they if want it's not parents, just trans people, it's going to be other things too.
So they want parents to have full control over their children's lives, but they don't want the parents to have control over where their child uses the bathroom.
Well, if the child uses the bathroom of what they believe is the opposite gender or the opposite sex, then that's already made illegal in schools. They passed that law last year, along with the healthcare ban for youth. And so this is a kind of an addendum onto that. So if your kid ends up using the bathroom, that's actually considered child abuse.
So it says, the state law describes it as a parent's failure to properly supervise, instruct, train, or control his or her child.
Okay, these people haven't been teachers. Have they been parents?
Exactly.
Have they been human beings?
Have you been a parent?
These are lizard people.
No, okay. Have you been a parent without physically abusing your kids?
Oh,
is my next question. Because you say control your child.
Mm-hmm.
That's a red flag word to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I agree.
In the only cases I know, when it comes to controlling a child, I mean, you control a child with gentle parenting and everything. Like, you know, that's how parenting works. But like, properly supervise, instruct, train, or control.
Mm-hmm.
To me, knowing this context, it just sounds like violence.
Well, I mean, control could be, you know, threatening violence too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
so. It says this new bill seeks to add a definition of child abuse to state law, describing exactly what you described. But does that apply to all children or just trans children? Or
just
because
trans children.
Because these people obviously have not.
What about,
you're going to have the situation with all children?
What about fathers?
So they'll all go to jail.
You know,
any parent would.
Sure.
Every parent.
No. They're not going to jail. They're just getting their kids taken away from them.
Oh, well, so what? Every parent is getting their...
I have a question.
And then where are the kids going to go?
What happens to fathers who have young children that need to change diapers? Because there's not diaper changes in a lot of men's restrooms.
I mean, this, I think, is really specific to schools. So I don't think that's...
Still in schools, that's true.
Might be true. Then you're going to have to find a gender's closet.
Like, that. Like, this doesn't help anybody, is my point.
No, it's, like, again, it's just a messaging thing. West Virginia would just move right across that latitude. They passed a bill that restricts, the House passed a bill that restricts doctors from providing medical gender-affirming care. Yay. Again. So this one is West Virginia's Republican-controlled House of Delegates passed a bill on this past Wednesday that doctors treating transgender youth in the state say would prevent the prescription of certain medical interventions like hormone therapy to patients at risk for self-harm or suicide. Now, that sounds reasonable. You don't want to, you know, give these kids in crisis medical care that would actually improve their lives and bring them out. And by the numbers and by scientific study, has shown to be life-saving by bringing them out of the state that they're in.
That's what medical care is.
But we don't want that because it's bad.
You got to remember, their end goal is less queer people.
Right.
And that's stated. That's not even like us clearly, being hyperbolic.
Because, I mean, it's like everybody else could have medical care except for you.
They use the word eradicate.
Yeah. And that should alarm anybody. Mm-hmm. I don't care how you feel about trans people. Well, I do, but you know what I mean? But I'm like, that should alarm you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again,
that's sort of like eugenics there. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, it is.
Oh, it is like, eugenics.
Yes, yeah.
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 It's very much
so. Why isn't it being called as such? And how are these laws even getting across somebody's desk?
Well, one, eugenics is alive and well. It never went away.
Yeah.
It just went from, because we still have the Judge Rottenberg Center. So, like, that still
what's that?
It. It's a place where they go and torture autistic kids.
Where?
And where you is know. It?
Okay, it doesn't. That's
a whole nother radio
something
show.
Something more about something that I don't know about. But that's, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say, sadly, I can't say I'm surprised, right? You know what I mean? It's just sort of change names and...
Where did the Third Reich get their eugenics program from?
An Indiana law. In 1907. I did a whole presentation about this the other day.
Let's talk about called that Indiana- on one of the shows, because I'd be very interested in hearing about that. I have read a little bit about it, but yeah, not a bad thing to revisit, because this is why I love history. And
I'll bring in my eugenics book. We can go over it.
Yeah,
it was first written and compiled in 1909.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be fascinating, because I mean, things do repeat or echo
so
over and over again.
A couple more things. First, the last negative bit is Trump. And has Ken Paxton on the short list for VPs. So Ken Paxton.
Disgusting.
Yeah. yay. But he's such a firebrand for the right and seems untouchable that, you know, hey, why not put him on your list? And then to switch over using the same person, but a different context, we covered last week that the PFLAG was trying to sue Paxton for being able to get information on kids who are seeking care outside of the state, because that's what Paxton's been doing for abortion and for trans care. And the judge in that case has blocked Ken Paxton from demanding the member info from PFLAG. So for now, that seems to be, while they... you know, work on that case, that seems to have been stopped. So these kids can breathe for a little bit longer and go seek care. Okay. I wanted to play this one. This is just cute. And let me see if I can get to it. Sorry. I didn't have it pulled up because I was looking at different things. One of our federal elected officials, Robert Garcia, who's out and proud, he calls for more radical homosexuals in Congress.
And he's right.
And I mean, yeah, why not?
Who doesn't want that? Well, I do know who doesn't want that. But right. They don't know.
Let me see if I can get this to play with audio.
Happening so far where you've been. Well, look, we've been in the deposition now for about an hour, and one thing is crystal clear, and there is zero evidence. Republicans have zero evidence linking Hunter Biden to any sort of business dealings with the president. This has been the case now. They have been on this kind of political sham impeachment now for about a year. Let's remember that it's Marjorie Taylor Greene that actually started this process. Nothing has been actually developed. Nothing has been found. And at the end of the day, what we're hearing is essentially we have a father who loves a son who loves his father, and his father was never involved in any business dealing. So this has been a complete waste of time. It's an affirmation, once again, that there's zero evidence linking the president to any business dealings with Hunter Biden.
Now, that doesn't have the radical homosexual part, but that sets it up because they've been saying that Congress is controlled by radical homosexuals, right? Goofball, quote unquote, Garcia. And so Congressman Garcia said, Congress would be actually better with more radical homosexuals. That was his reply to that little thing after somebody came after him after that segment. The way that this this pushback on our side has been is fantastic. We need to step up. We need to speak up. We need to speak back. And we need to, yes, not only are we here, but we deserve to be here. And we should be heard. We should be out there talking more about it.
Yeah.
We should be in the halls of Congress. And we should be in local government. And this brings me to another thing. So we talk about POP. And
that's Protect Our People.
Yes. We're going to have GoFundMe go out so that we can start getting these kids help. And this is across the state and bits of Northern Kentucky and bits of Western Ohio to get people gas money for rides. And if they don't have cars or if it just seems like too much for them, get those families rides through a volunteer ride share program. We've got a few drivers already across the state. But I'm also involved with Stonewall Democrats of South Central Indiana, which is a PAC that covers our area, our listening area. And we try to support and encourage people to run, LGBTQ people or fierce allies, not just people who are like, oh, you know, I have a gay nephew. But people who are really fighting for us, who don't identify as LGBTQ themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Try to get them into positions where they can affect a positive change in our society or just get them elected because representation, presence matters. And for us to be able to be at the table and be involved with the decision-making process is essential in order to have fairness and some amount of justice in the system. And that absolutely is not just federal level, but state and local. And so we've been together for a number of years now, and we're gearing up for primary season. And in Southern and Central Indiana, Democrats are very hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
Greene County has one candidate this election cycle. And there are a few others that just have maybe three candidates who are on the Dem side. And right now we're doing the vetting process for them in order to see where they're at. Because, you know, of course, just because they're Democrat doesn't mean that we're going to be supporting them. And actually, you know, if there were people of third party or whatever who were fierce supporters of LGBTQ rights or were LGBTQ themselves, we want to hear from you, you know, because we want to promote fairness and inclusion and justice for all. Just those things they were talking about, you you know, that on the right hand side of things, we want this. These are good American values.
Everybody wants those.
Yeah.
And everybody deserves those.
And that means everybody.
You can't stop people from having those.
Well, you shouldn't, but they obviously are.
But that's not what our Constitution is based on.
Right. So we're putting out questionnaires, and we're getting return answers, hopefully from everybody. We want to be comprehensive, and just to see where they stand on it. And then we'll make our recommendations in a week and a half. And we'll put those out, and I'll cover them here. Just so you can be aware of who's running and where they stand. So, and if you happen to want to take into account somebody's stance on LGBTQ issues, which are kind of important in this state, I encourage you to look at those candidates who we put forth. And we've got big ones. We've got a governor coming up, you know. We've got, Todd Rokita.
Mm-hmm.
Sweeney Todd Rokita.
Sweeney Todd. Okay, I like that. Let's continue with that.
He's got a challenger.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have a chance to improve the status of Hoosiers.
Great.
And our institutions, because he's attacking the schools, of course. So, and the teachers. The teachers. That's what gets me.
The, everybody's attacking the teachers now.
Right. And
saying that they're groomers or whatever.
Right.
When, yeah, it's ridiculous. And disgusting.
That's a whole other discussion. The way teachers are treated, we're on like low end of the graph when it comes to how teachers fare in our state and how they're respected. And that's a shame. You know, they should be supported too. But yeah, so we're about out of time. And I want to remind everybody that, you know, we didn't tailor this episode to be on Apple Podcasts. Next time we're going to have probably a laugh track and or a live studio audience. And we'll have
a live studio audience.
I'm kidding. I can't even get my kid to come in here.
And, I know. I'm kidding too.
Yeah. yeah, we'll polish it up for all of you Apple subscribers out there. For the people who listen to us live,
it's rate just us like five stars on Apple Podcasts.
What?
Rate us five stars on Apple Podcasts.
Oh yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's awesome.
Please.
We're not desperate. Okay. Yeah, we are. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was something else I had, but that's just ridiculous. There's an Australian guy who did some things to
right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really
we're
just
running our time though, dear.
We are. So do you wanna I'll read the closer. Support for Blooming Out is brought to you by Blooming Foods Co-op Market, Blooming Foods community owned cooperative grocery supporting local farmers and businesses since 1976. Owned by over 8,000 residents across Monroe County and beyond, Blooming Foods offers local, healthy, sustainable, and environmentally sound products. Blooming Foods East is located at 3220 East 3rd Street by College Mall, and Blooming Foods Near West is located at 316 West 6th Street near the square. Get more information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Very good. Take a breath. Blooming Out is a production of WFHB Community Radio and produced by Melanie Davis and Cade Young. For Blooming Out and WFHB, I'm Justin Roberts.
I'm Cal Demery.
And I'm Melanie Davis. I can't stress this enough. You are loved. We're here. We're queer and we refuse to live in fear. Have a good night from your Blooming Out family.
Good night.
Oh, I had to go there with this one, y'all.
Let's go.
Come on. My prescription is the Bible. Read the scripture from the Bible. Watch the system. Take my idols. Now I pray for all my rivals. Used to fight because they always thought me sissy. Mom was like, don't you never let them hit me. And the church always want to judge me. But I know that God is the only one above me.
Where I've been, what I've seen, people dying. They can't be who they be, 'cause they're high.